Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
There's something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes. We're seeing things in a different way, and God knows it ain't his. It sure ain't no surprise. Yeah! We're living on the edge.
Tonight, the surprise pick by President-elect Donald Trump, tapping Matt Gaetz to serve as Attorney General. The Florida congressman and Trump loyalist selected to become the nation's top law enforcement officer while under a House ethics probe. Gaetz also once the subject of a federal investigation into the alleged sex trafficking of a 17-year-old girl, but was never charged. His bid coming after Mr. Trump vowed retribution against political enemies.
Also late today, the president-elect revealing Trump loyalist Congressman Matt Gaetz is his pick for Attorney General. Reaction from Republicans on the Hill coming in right now.
We start with some breaking news. President-elect Donald Trump stunned both his supporters and critics today, choosing Matt Gaetz to serve as U.S. Attorney General. That's America's top cop. Tonight, Senate Republicans said they were shocked about the choice of the Florida congressman, one saying Gaetz is, quote, not a serious candidate, another that he faces a tough confirmation battle.
Given an ongoing ethics investigation in the House, given some of the allegations that have been made against Congressman Gaetz, and given some of his conduct, I think this will be a robust and thorough confirmation process. My hope is that my colleagues in the Republican caucus will urge the president to reconsider.
That was Chris Coons from Delaware, Democrat senator. There, Channel 3, I assume via ABC, their sort of affiliate network, had several good comments from senators last night, including of the massive news that Trump has picked Matt Gaetz to be the attorney general. And as we were just talking about this with Alex Andrade, this is unprecedented in terms of Northwest Florida's influence on national politics. Statewide office, the last time was what, Ruben Askew, that's pretty much the last thing I can think of that would have been, across the entire state, somebody being of that prominence. But in D.C., attorney general from, Niceville. not the most common thing. Doesn't happen every single day. Long game payoff for Matt being an early, ardent, repeated, outspoken Trumper, 100% Trumper. And, even all the stuff he's gone through with the allegations against him, which he has always denied and which have never manifested anything. By the way, I think the ethics investigation is just done. That's what the report has been, that it's done because he's not in Congress anymore. So why would there be the Democrats, I guess, have been pushing to release the findings or whatever. So, to what point? Anyway, for him to be at that level in national politics is pretty amazing. So and also somebody who suffered from, depending on what you view about the facts, which we don't know the facts too much, except of what has been said, which isn't a lot. And the facts look pretty, I think, like Alex thinks, that the case against Matt Gaetz is pretty weak. I have always said, I don't know what the truth is, but I know Matt pretty well, and it seems unlikely to me. Until you prove it, I'm not going to believe it. Anyway, so the issue with him having experienced the abuses of the DOJ, that's certainly what Trump is thinking, and certainly, Matt has talked about that many times. And so getting in there to reform, to clean house, to fire a lot of people, not to burn it down, but to clean it out. To make the Department of Justice be what it's supposed to be. So Chris Coons says it's crazy. Richard Blumenthal.
Reason for Matt.
A Democrat from New Hampshire, by the way.
The only reason for Matt Gaetz' nomination is he's a Trump puppet. His loyalty to Trump is the only credible reason that he has been proposed. He will weaponize the Department of Justice for retribution, Donald Trump's words. He is highly dangerous as a potential national security risk.
I have known Matt a long time, and you might say a lot of things about him. I don't think puppet has ever been an accurate phrase for Matt Gaetz. Meanwhile, Republican senators Lindsey Graham ambush walking from his car.
To Matt Gaetz as AG.
Yeah, I don't know yet. I think about that one.
Do you have any concerns about it? We'll see.
And Susan Collins from Maine, who very much a moderate Republican, and whatever she says, it's fine. I mean, she's been there forever.
I was shocked that he has been nominated. If the nomination proceeds, I'm sure that there will be an extensive background check by the FBI and public hearings and a lot of questions asked.
Okay, did she say expensive or extensive?
I'm sure that there will be an extensive.
Okay, she'd say just my ears. I heard it wrong the first time. Anyway, it does. I mean, she certainly knows the difference between the words. So interesting, her saying if it proceeds. Now, when I first heard that comment, I thought, well, she's saying what a lot of us are thinking, which is this has no chance of passing in the Senate, and so it won't even happen. What she could be saying is this has no chance of passing in the Senate, or it's very unlikely that he would get confirmed in the Senate, and therefore Trump won't even bring it. He'll just do like Alex was talking about, a recess appointment, an acting interim, whatever you want to think of it as, that maybe it doesn't even go to the Senate. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. And then, of course, the whole domino effect of who comes in to fill the seat that is now vacant because he resigned yesterday in order to set up a special election, maybe as early as January 3rd, 5th, somewhere in that vicinity. So we'll talk about this more. There's a lot of people on the list of maybes, a lot of people who might want this. 437-1620, John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No new accidents to let you know about. But we're seeing railroad closings that happened at Olive Road, 10 Mile Road, East Roberts Road, Kingsfield, Old Kim Strand, and Archer. Those are the railroad closings for today. Good news, 9 Mile is wide open, but we're still seeing some delays through that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you are thinking about that next vehicle, trying to decide, what to go with or where to buy from, I recommend Frontier Motors to start. They've got a big old buffet of cars. The smorgasbord of good quality used cars. 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 years old, low miles, 10, 30, 50,000 miles, depending on the age, somewhere in that vicinity, and good prices. And then they warranty their cars to 100,000 miles and 10 years. And so the value of that is you're getting a used car that you can count on. They only deal in those kinds of cars, and they will stand behind them with that very robust warranty to make sure that, you get what you expect out of that car. Because I know a lot of times you buy a used car and you're like, man, I hope it's good. when you buy from Frontier, I know it's good. So that's kind of the advantage. And really, take advantage of their selection because you can drive a bunch of different things and decide what you like and if you like this or if you're not sure. And if you find what you want, buy it. If you don't find what you want but you're close, tell them to go looking for it. They go looking for cars all the time. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Somebody texted in at 437-1620. It says, if the swamp is opposed to Matt being attorney general, that's almost the proof I need to know he's a good fit. And I think there's a lot of that. You have to kind of put yourself outside of Northwest Florida for a minute. I know there are a lot of people that cannot stand Matt Gaetz. I know. Okay, there are a lot of other people who really adore him. I know. I have tremendous respect for Matt Gaetz. Okay, I really do. I've known him for, I think, about as long as I've lived here. And I've interviewed him hundreds of times. Okay, extraordinarily capable guy. The question of perception outside of here, because he has been, because of these allegations and, his reputation, the way he's been treated is incredibly unfair by national media. Kind of like the treatment of DeSantis. Incredibly unfair treatment by national media. Kind of like Trump. Right? There's kind of a pattern here that, people who are, well, whether you call them a conservative or not, Trump, but active Republicans or conservatives or, right-wingers or whatever you want to call it, these folks have been just dragged through the mud in the national media. Whether you think it's deserved or not, you can't dispute that that's true. So the question then is, well, okay, we might think of them one way. What's the perception of them nationally? And how will that factor into something like this? Maybe it doesn't. If Trump pulls off a recess appointment, but maybe it's looked at as finally we get a guy in there, because the motivated base around the country, he's been out campaigning for people, right, for years. I mean, they know who Matt Gaetz is and they admire him. 437-1620, the people who are going to now be vying for that seat is a long list. I came up with, I've now added to it, I've got it up to 33 people. I think the top contenders on this list are Frank White, Michelle Salzman. I don't think Doug Broxson wants it, but I agree with Alex Andrade. If he wanted it, he could probably win it. Same for Chip Simmons. I think he could probably win it if he wanted it, but I don't think he wants it. DC Reeves, I think it's unlikely, but he would have a good chance. Ashton Hayward has been mentioned by a lot of people. Nathan Boyles has been mentioned by a lot of people. And Marcus Chambers from Okaloosa County. James Utmeyer, the chief of staff for Governor DeSantis, is another one. Maybe even Don Gates, Matt's dad. Destin Mayer, Bobby Wagner is another one that keeps coming up. Those are all my, top 8 or 10 that I think. But I got a list here that's like 30 people long. And, Jared Moore, not likely, but you never know. David Stafford, not likely, but you never know. Gene Valentino, Doug Underhill, David Morgan. Any of the current sheriffs. I mean, this is a long list of possible people, and it's going to be very interesting to see what happens over the next week. This is one of those, see what happens over the next week. It's going to be fun. 721 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Do you ever feel powerless? Powerless to change your circumstances? So did the man at the Pool of Bethesda in John chapter 5. This man had an infirmity that rendered him powerless for 38 years. Do you know what changed everything for this man? It was the day he met Jesus. The powerless man met the powerful Son of God. Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately this man picked up his bed and walked for the first time in 38 years. I don't know what it is that's making you feel powerless, whether it's financial, physical, or relational, but I do know that the all-powerful God can meet your need if you'll put your faith in Him.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
What do zero down payment, zero security deposits, zero due at signing, and zero first month payment add up to? The Volkswagen Sign and Drive event at Beadmore Imports. Yep, all those zeros add up to savings. When you sign and drive a 2024 Volkswagen Tiguan or Taos, or the 2025 Volkswagen Atlas or Atlas Cross Sport, don't miss the return of Sign and Drive for the easiest way to lease a new Volkswagen for a full 36 months. And the best part? Volkswagen pays for your first month's payment. Plus, the 2024 Jetta SE is now on sale from $23,899. The 2024 Taos S, also from $23,899. And the 2024 Tiguan S, on sale from $27,899. It's the Sign and Drive sales event at Beadmore Imports. They're not in Car City, but at 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Book sales price and due at signing amount excludes tax, title, license options, dealer fees. No security deposit for well-qualified customers through BCI. Limited inventory available. Contact dealer for full offer details.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Tune in Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as the special guest will be Chief Dan Helms from the Santa Rosa Creek Band to discuss the upcoming 2024 Creek Fest, a Creek Indian cultural experience on November 23rd and 24th in Milton on William Norris Road. Hear all about the Liven Creek Village, the petting zoo and crafts, and all the fun. Get all the details Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
The winner of the prestigious Marconi Award Media Market Station of the Year from the National Association of Broadcasters.
Informative, local, dependable.
Are you the police?
No, ma'am. We're musicians.
Good morning, 724 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. The one thing I will say about the CSX railroad crossings, which continues to be a monster mess, it's moving north, is CSX has been not publicly communicative, but they have been providing information, and Escambia County has been helping me out with it so that I can get it out to you. And I appreciate all of that being possible, because otherwise we would have just been guessing what's going to happen. So at least you know that the shot's going in your leg today. The shot's going in your eye today. You know, like, you know where it's coming from. It's going to continue to move north, and it'll be done pretty quickly. It'll be over before you know it. Well, it still doesn't help for today or tomorrow. 7:25, John Pickens got traffic on the fives. Oh, I'm just so excited to be able to tell you 9 miles open. I went this morning at 4:50 before I came into work and went to look with my own eyes to make sure, and sure enough, it's open. And then I almost reported that Olive was open, but I saw him like, it doesn't look open. And no, sure enough, not open. So whatever. Anyway, John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
No new accidents to let you know about right now, but we're seeing some delays if you're on I-10 eastbound from Pine Forest all the way through the construction zone on Highway 29. And also, we need to talk about the railroad closings that are happening today. So if you're Olive Road, 10 Mile, East Roberts Road, Kingsfield, Old Kimstrand, and Archer, those railroad crossings are all closed today. So make sure you plan around that one. If you're going to Tate High School, just leave 45 minutes an hour early because it's going to take you a while. I'm John Pickens with the traffic on the five.
Somebody just texted and said 12 buses were 2 hours late to Tate yesterday.
Wow. It's going to be even worse today.
Yeah, it is, because it's more in that. I mean, with Kingsfield closed.
Mm-hmm.
And Old Kemstrand and Archer and
all the roads that feed into it.
Good gravy. Oh, it's, you know, suck it, Escambia County. But, I mean, it's work that needs to be done. But don't you feel that way? That it feels like not only do I'm so
I do,
torn
and I'm
on
not
this.
Even driving it.
There, look, it's important work. It needs to be done, and they're doing it quickly. But, God, there's got to be a better way. There just has to be some better way of handling this problem. And we're going to have to handle it again probably in 8 years, because 8 years ago we had it. Ugh. Anyway, and also, I don't, you know, if there were a way to blame the Escambia County Commission, I would do it. Because if they deserved it, I don't blame them. I don't think they have any power. You know, every once in a while, Stephen Barry talks about how he's getting work, you know, he's working with CSX and getting accommodations, and yeah, I mean, I haven't ever seen anything really manifest, but you know, I don't think they have any leverage. What can they do? And there's no power here. You know, so it's just frustrating. I said this last hour. This thing is funny. If this had happened 3 weeks ago, there might have been a different outcome to the District 5 commission election. Stephen Barry might have lost if people were stuck for 3 hours and 2 hours, you know, just because of the railroad crossings. It wouldn't have been his fault, but you know how people are in elections. Whoever they're angriest at right now. So, David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, fire crews are making some progress battling those wildfires on both coasts. The mountain fire in California is now 79% contained. That's coming in about 1 week after it started. It's destroyed about 239 structures. On the East Coast, they're still fighting that fire that's on the New Jersey-New York border. That's about 50% contained now. The number of people that got sick with the McDonald's E. coli outbreak is up to at least 104. Federal health officials said yesterday at least 34 people had been hospitalized, and those cases had been detected in up to 14 states. And NFL star Aaron Rodgers says he's not ready to retire just yet, Andrew. He said yesterday he wants to play next season, although that's despite being in the midst of one of his worst statistical seasons of his career. He is under contract for the 2025 season, but the Jets would have to exercise a $35 million bonus option to bring him back.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, I got a note in here. The Garcon Point Bridge, the northbound lane, is closed. Egads. Okay, all right. Sorry, dealing with that. I don't see it yet on the map so much, but it looks like there was something later on in the bridge. I don't know. Anyway, just letting you know as soon as we know it. 7:29 on News Radio 92.3. In other news, is there any other news? This has been the big news. Ozempic appears to fight alcohol addiction. One of the byproducts of people on Ozempic is apparently they don't want to drink alcohol either because they feel full is the kind of the theory, maybe. Okay, that drugs designed to treat alcoholism, they don't call it that. What do they call it? Alcohol addiction syndrome or something like that. Anyway, drugs designed to treat it don't work very well. There's not enough. They don't work. This, which is kind of an off-label, seems like it might turn out to be a useful side effect of it. So interesting. Oh, and ABC is scrambling to add some pro-Trump voices to The View. No. But why? If all six of the people on there all voted for one side, you think maybe some variety and viewpoint would be useful? Fascinating. Now, the real question there is, are they going to fire people? or are they just going to make it more voices talking over each other? So would they expand to 8 or 10? I don't know. They've had in the past, right? Meghan McCain, Elizabeth Hasselbeck, they've had people in the past. Even Lucifer Griffin, you know, arguably a conservative at some point. But they just can never bring themselves to make it 2 or 3 and make it balanced. But the conservatives always leave because it's such a hostile, unpleasant environment.
News. I'm CJ Papa.
We are going to have the majority. We're celebrating that.
House Speaker Mike Johnson enjoying the red wave. That gives Republicans the majority again in the lower chamber. 218 to 208 for Republicans over Democrats, with 9 congressional races left to be decided. Matt Gaetz nominated for U.S. Attorney General under President-elect Trump, but the road to his confirmation in the Senate could be very, very rocky.
Gaetz rose to power back in 2016, representing Florida's Western Panhandle. He has been a staunch supporter of Trump, but he's had some controversy of his own. The House Ethics Committee was investigating allegations Gaetz was part of a scheme tied to a sex trafficking of a minor. Now, Gaetz has long denied these allegations, and last year, the Justice Department ended its probe of the matter.
Fox's Mark Meredith, Olympic champ Lindsey Vonn, says she's coming out of retirement to rejoin the U.S. ski team at the age of 40. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 72 degrees across the area. Partly cloudy skies. Looks like a beautiful morning out there today. Commanding Officer Captain Terry Village Shishadi is retiring this week. NAS Pensacola is hosting a change of command and retirement ceremony this coming Friday, tomorrow. That'll take place at the National Naval Aviation Museum on board NAS Pensacola. Captain Shishadi will be relieved as the commanding officer during that ceremony and be succeeded by Captain Chandra Newman. Shishadi will be retiring after that ceremony, completing his 26-year Navy career. Now, city officials in Destin say they're hopeful FDOT's vision for Highway 98 will come to pass. A recent FDOT study, including a proposal to expand 98 to 6 lanes from Okaloosa Island Pier to the East Bay Bridge.
If you're going to widen the roadway to 6 lanes, you would also have to widen the bridge structure for East Pass Bridge in that area. So you would have 3 lanes of traffic on each side, but the enhancement there obviously would be the pedestrian and bicycle facilities.
That's FDOT's Ian Satter. He says they're hoping to ease congestion on that road, which has seen a big increase in traffic over recent years. City officials in Destin are hosting a public meeting to get input, not just from city residents, but anybody in the surrounding communities who might be affected by that project. One Santa Rosa County resident raising some concerns that outgoing Commissioner James Calkins may no longer live in the county.
Commissioner Calkins no longer lives in his district. He no longer is residing in the county. And so therefore, he should not be part of any voting or deciding on the next 2 meetings because he no longer qualifies for that seat.
And that is Sherry Chapman from Tuesday's Santa Rosa County Committee meeting. And she went on to say she didn't think Calkins should be allowed to vote at today's meeting, as he wouldn't meet residency requirements. This comes amid rumors that Calkins was planning a move to pursue running for office in Walton County. Now, Commissioner Calkins was not at that meeting on Tuesday to respond to those comments. We've got some bad news for our friends across the state line. Alabama, considered one of the most difficult states to find a job. That based on a study from financial website WalletHub. They looked at, they say, all 30 key indicators of markets, job market strength and economic health, and they looked at all 50 states. Alabama ranked 38th of 50. The state was given low marks for its economic environment. And according to the WalletHub list, New Hampshire was ranked as the best state to try to find work. State Representative Michelle Salzman is teaming up with Sheriff Chip Simmons and some area nonprofits to sponsor a food distribution event and a Thanksgiving meal giveaway. That's going to be happening November 23rd, next week, at Marcus Point Baptist Church. And Salzman tells Channel 3 that at least 300 families will be served. Supplies, though, are limited. The event is planned to help people that are struggling and supplement the holidays for their families. It's 7:35 right now, News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. We've got one new accident to let you know about on Highway 29 near Neal Road. There's a bad accident involving an 18-wheeler, and the northbound lane is blocked. So just be aware of that. Railroad closings to let you know about right now. Olive Road, 10 Mile, East Roberts Road, Kingsfield, Old Kimstrand, and Archer. Those railroad crossings are all closed right now. So if you have to go around, plan an extra 45 minutes to an hour because everybody else is going the same way. Also, if you're on the Garcon Point Bridge, they're doing construction on the bridge right now with intermittent lane closures. So sometimes the northbound lane will be closed or sometimes the southbound lane will be closed. They'll be doing that most of the day today. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
New long showers and thunderstorms ending as you go through your morning. High today near 77 degrees with some sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping with some dry air near 55 degrees. As you go into Friday, sunny skies, high near 72. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 53. Keeping sunshine around through Saturday with a high near 72 and a low near 56. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 72 across the area, partly cloudy skies and looking like a beautiful morning right now. Our next news at 8 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The October Producer Price Index is set to show an uptick in inflation. PPI, a measure of what producers get for goods and services, is expected to show a 0.2% increase last month. That's according to a Dow Jones estimate. This would equate to a 2.3% annual increase. Data drops in 10 minutes. Chinese premium electric vehicle maker Zeekr will take control of Link and Company, a sister brand owned by Geely and Volvo Cars. This is according to Reuters. Under the deal, Zeekr will purchase Volvo Cars' entire 30% stake in Link and a 20% stake from Geely Holding. Zeekr will then nudge its stake up to 51% total. Computer chip equipment maker ASML said it expects sales growth to average between 8 and 14% over the next coming 5 years as a boom in AI fuels strong demand for its most advanced tools. Futures are slightly higher ahead of new inflation data. That's Your Money Now.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today. Learn at your own pace and check out the Medical Marijuana Education Series. You decide what you'd like to learn and when with Mary on Demand. Visit mary.famu.edu. That's mmeri.famu.edu. And remember, recreational marijuana is still illegal in Florida. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Winterfest in downtown Pensacola begins Friday and goes through the holidays with a 500,000 lights, performances, tours, and of course, Santa. See PensacolaWinterfest.org. Friday night, enjoy another gallery night in downtown Pensacola. This month's theme is Festival of Living Art. Meet your friends and neighbors for another fun evening. See GalleryNightPensacola.org for more. Submit your events at NewsRadio923.com.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay.
Mayor D.C. Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Andrew, glad to be here.
Andrew McKay, mornings at 5.
It's time to talk with our good friend Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
I'm glad I don't have to say that real fast every day. Good morning.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 before pep talk.
Julio Diaz always gets us up to speed on the movies that are coming out. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good AM 1740 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. By the way, and I feel bad I did not tell you this more often, but if you're wondering about the railroad closures and, you know, either don't or can't catch the traffic on the fives that John does, I publish them every day. I've been publishing a list on Facebook, both on my page and on our News Radio page. So all the updates we have as best we have them when we as soon as we have them. So, you know, if you want information, you want to I know resources on this are scarce, but that's definitely one. Joining us now, we have Mike Wood. He's the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So let's go, I guess, I'm not sure this is quite chronological, but last week we had the first use of the Bearcat. Or was that this week? And I forget, I'm sorry. A standoff with an armed individual at Gonzales Court. Is that right?
Yeah, that was Monday morning early. That began after 5 a.m. Monday morning in the Gonzales Court.
And what happened here? A good resolution, peaceful resolution, right?
Yeah, it was. It started as a disturbance, an armed disturbance between a male and a female. The female, when officers arrived, the female was able to get out of the apartment, met the officers out front, and said there was a man inside that had a gun. We believe at that point is when the individual left out the back door, got in a vehicle and left the area, but we were not aware of that. She was adamant that he was inside, so we had to treat that as he was, you know, as if he was inside. So more officers arrived. Eventually, the negotiation team, the SWAT team arrived, and they tried at length to make contact with the individual, and now we know why there was no contact there. But, yes, fortunately, everybody made it without any injuries. He was arrested about 3 hours later over on the west side of town without incident.
That happens a lot, doesn't it? You have either, you know, somebody flees from a traffic stop, and then you just pick them up later. Like the kind of, you know, just – either they leave or it de-escalates or something and you kind of, you know, pick them up later on or whatever. That's a fairly common thing, right?
Yeah, it is. When you have a domestic violence situation, of course, you're always going to know who the suspect is or the perpetrator, and we'll have a name and we'll be able to catch up with him sooner or later. So, you know, this individual knew that police were coming, that they were on the way. He fled the scene and we were able to catch up with him a few hours later.
Very good. We also had burglars at the old Sacred Heart Hospital on 12th. Is that right?
Yeah, that was last Thursday night. An individual was inside in his studio inside that building and heard voices outside of his door. And eventually the individuals tried to get into that studio. They were on the door handle trying to get in. They were unsuccessful. The door was locked. He called the property manager. The property manager then called police. When our officers arrived, the property manager gave our officers keys to get in the building. They began a search of the building and located four juveniles inside, and two of which had handguns on them. Mm-hmm. So they were also arrested without incident.
And the arrest there was both for the entering and also for the possession of a handgun, which is illegal for anybody under 21, right?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, wow. Well, I'm, again, glad that it worked out. Did they, I mean, take anything, damage anything?
They, as far as I know, they took some cassettes, and at their age, I'm not sure they knew what cassettes were, but I believe that's all they took.
They're probably like, you know, in their mind, they're like Indiana Jones, and they went in there and they found some mummies and Egyptian artifacts. These things, I don't know what they are. They must be valuable, right?
So, yeah, it could be.
The other incident that received a lot of attention in the news. Oh, I'm sorry. The Gonzales Court, I meant to ask, but that was the first Bearcat use, right? Maybe I mentioned, but that was the first time SWATs used the Bearcat, right?
Yes, it was. It was the first time.
Very good. The Ice Flyers game in the Bay Center on Friday. I know you've done interviews with Channel 3, and we've talked about this incident. Can you tell me what we know at this point? Because my own opinion is that it has kind of been treated like it was this massive riot, and it was just a handful of people, like less than half a dozen, right?
Yeah, and, you know, the reason it got so much attention is because this sort of thing at a hockey game at the Bay Center, it just doesn't happen. And so that it got a lot of attention. And it all started over individuals being in a seat that they were not supposed to be in. So one thing led to another. Some words were exchanged, and at some point punches were thrown. Our investigators interviewed witnesses and looked over video, and arrests are coming. Charges are coming for at least four people out of the six that were involved. We believe the other two were simply trying to defend themselves.
And do you happen to know, and I guess I've asked this just sort of out of weird curiosity, but was it you're in my seat fight or was it, you're in my seat, fine, I'll move, grumble, grumble, chab, you know, comment, comment, popcorn thrown, fight? You know, like, was this a simmering thing, or did it kind of happen immediately?
I don't know how – I understand. From what I understand, it happened quickly. I just don't know how quickly. I know that it started over someone being in someone else's seat, and words were exchanged, and then the fight began. And if you look at the video, there were people that were just choosing to join the fight that – initially didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah, and other people trying to intervene and pull people apart, which is fairly normal. And again, I'd totally share your opinion that we ought to remind folks that, you know, how many times, I've lived here for 10 years, you know, how many times you had a news story about a fight in the stands at a Knights Flyers game? I don't remember one. So even though it did happen, it's rare, right?
Yeah, it's very rare. And, you know, anytime you have a lot of people in one location, sooner or later, there may be an altercation there, but yeah, this is very unusual for an event in the Bay Center or at the Ice Flyers game.
Absolutely. We're talking to Mike Wood, the public information officer for PPD. Hang on for just a second, Mike. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
If you're traveling I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and through the Highway 29 construction zone there, traffic is just bumper to bumper and backed up. So plan an extra 45 minutes if you have to take I-10 this morning. Railroad crossings that are closed right now, Olive Road, 10 Mile, East Roberts Road, Kingsfield, Old Kim Strand, and Archer. Those railroad crossings are closed right now.
Oh, so I just got a note in that Archer is back open. They're going to delay closing that until Monday.
Okay, good.
I just got a note in about the that CSX is that Archer is like real, like Burgess got reopened. Archer is reopened, and they're going to, Monday is the targeted closure.
Okay, great. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much, John. Back to Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. All right, I got a cop myth for you this week, Mike. My one for you is we watch a lot of TV, and on these TV cop shows, which I always assume like 130% of what they do is wrong, like, you know, even more than just all of it. But one of the things I notice a lot of times is this practice where the detectives working on the murder investigation or whatever, but, you know, a lot of them about murder, they're always giving updates to the chief or the captain, and they're kind of like, the captain or the chief is like the super detective involved. There's always, they're back at the station discussing the, and they got the murder board up and all this kind of stuff. How accurate or inaccurate is that?
I'll split that one with you 50-50. Part of that's true. They do keep up, you know, the captains and the command staff, and certainly the chief of police and the deputy chief are made aware of the progress of the case. But as far as the chief and deputy chief actively investigating it, not so much. I mean, if they have something to contribute, they certainly will do that, both of which have been investigators before, so they do know what they're talking about. But most of the time, they're going to let their men and women do their jobs in the investigations division.
Yeah, it seemed to me more like a storytelling device because, you know, the captain or the chief has probably got way more other things that they've got to be working on than just shepherding this one investigation continually every time there's a new development. Is that basically right?
That's correct, yes.
Very good. Mike Wood is the public information officer for PPD. Mike, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for teaching us all the things that are true and false about cops compared to what the cultural myths tell us. And we'll talk to you next week. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
7:48 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You know, if you have a loved one who is experiencing, you know, they get older, okay? And as you get older, things change. And maybe you start to forget, and maybe you don't process things as well. Maybe you're having trouble with, they call them activities of daily living, you know, brushing your teeth or cleaning or driving or shopping. And maybe you're already getting help or, you know, you are helping. In fact, maybe you're helping so much it's getting to be too much for you. Or it's Thanksgiving, right? You got Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up. You're going to see relatives you haven't seen in a while, maybe, and you notice that they're different, okay? If it's time to start thinking about a better place for them to live, like assisted living, for example, talk to my friend John Horton at Assisted Living Locators. This is literally what he and his whole team locally here, this is what they do. And they'll help you navigate all of these challenging conversations and what decisions be made. And even if you decide or your loved ones decide that, you know, assisted living is the right place, then you got like 40 alternatives to pick for, or 30 alternatives to pick from locally. Which one? John can help with that because he knows the costs and he knows the amenities and knows the lifestyle and what's going to be the best fit for you. So you've got questions. John Horton has helpful answers. 712-0887, 712-0887, or check him out online at assistedlivinglocators.com.
delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Are you ready to experience healthcare that truly cares? At VIP Care, they're not just your primary care provider, they're your healthcare partner. Specializing in primary care for adults 65 and older, VIP Care's compassionate doctors focus on prevention, creating personalized care plans to keep you healthy and active. With four convenient clinics in Pensacola, same-day appointments, and a dedicated on-call provider available 24/7, VIP Care makes healthcare easy and accessible. Visit getvipcare.com to find a clinic near you.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, cool weather color, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got the answers on the News Radio Garden Line. Every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
You're listening to the National Association of Broadcasters Marconi Award Media Market Station of the Year.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Two things I know to be true. There's no difference between good flan and bad flan. And there is no war.
Of course there's a war. I'm watching it on television.
We have good news, John. You've been doing the traffic. You want to tell them? Tell them the good news.
Good news is Olive Road and Archer Road are now officially back open.
All right. Officially? Or reported to us?
Reported to
okay.
us.
Now, Archer, I just wanted Archer to sound... is official. You know, right. I got that from Escambia County, CSX via Escambia County. And then you said we have a listener texted in that Olive's open. And looks from the traffic map like that's true. You know,
I just wanted to sound, you know...
authoritative. Newsy.
Yeah.
Newsy. Hit them with the hard facts.
That's right.
All right. Good job. So that is good news. And again, as bad as things are around these road closures, these crossings closures, and I don't want to undervalue how bad it has been for many of you. What did somebody tell us? 12 buses to Tate were 2 hours late yesterday. Just, you know, I understand. Still, it is going quickly. And it's kind of like, hey, we're here, and it's a nightmare, and we're gone. You know, so that's the good takeaway. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, U.S. Capitol Police are ramping up security in anticipation of January 6th and the presidential inauguration on January 20th. Chief Tom Manger says preparations, including added equipment, staffing, and training, make their current plans vastly improved when compared to 4 years ago. Officers from 20 jurisdictions participated recently in training exercises, and 4,000 additional officers will be there to assist with inauguration events on the 20th. Fire crews making progress on both of those wildfires on both the West and the East Coast. The mountain fire in California is now 79% contained. The fire in New York and New Jersey is about 50% contained today. And I just saw this story. Four people have been arrested for attempted insurance fraud in California. They claimed their cars had been damaged by a bear, but it turns out it was actually somebody wearing a bear costume.
Oh, all right.
The suspects said the bear had damaged their Rolls-Royce Ghost interior. They even provided video evidence of the bear rummaging through the vehicle. The Department of Insurance, though, reviewed the video footage, and they said they knew right away it was a human being wearing a bear costume. Upon investigation, they found two other claims had been filed with similar claims, and a search warrant was executed. That's where officials say they found the bear costume.
So an unskilled actor.
Very much so, yeah.
Okay, because a better actor would have been able to pull it off.
They could have just gone somewhere with bears. They will climb in there and do some damage.
You know where they could have gone is a place with monkeys.
Well, that's true.
I told you earlier, remember we were talking about this a little bit off the air, the monkeys. Have they captured the monkeys yet?
Well, last I knew, there were still about
some of them.
Yeah, about a dozen of them or so on the loose. Yeah,
on the loose. Okay, so I've done a little bit of research. Somebody sent me a really good article put out by IFAS that talks about monkey populations in Florida. I found this so entertaining. I'll tell you about it in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. Dealing with some major backup on I-10 eastbound from 9 Mile, before you get to 9 Mile, all the way through Highway 29 construction zone. I'd plan about an extra 45 minutes to an hour there. Also, we're dealing with railroad tracks that are still closed at 10 Mile, East Roberts Road, Kingsfield, and Old Kimstrand are still closed at the moment. So definitely pack your patience. Leave early. Leave 45 minutes to an hour early to get to your destination. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
9 Mile is open. Archer got reopened by CSX, and Olive is, we are told Olive is open, so that's great news. And instead, everybody's stuck at I-10. Oh, golly. I'm so sorry. It's just terrible. Okay, so crucial information about monkeys. no, seriously. So nearly, there are 5 monkey species that have been introduced into Florida. Not native, right? Okay. 3 of which have established breeding populations. The rhesus macaque, do you say macaw or macaque? I don't know the way to say that. It's spelled weird. M-A-C-A-Q-U-E. Squirrel monkeys and vervet monkeys, apparently. Now, on the rhesus monkeys, in 2015, there were about 175 among 5 groups in Silver Spring State Park, and the population was growing. A commercial riverboat captain, Colonel Tui, back in the 30s, released a bunch of them onto an island in an effort to increase tourism. They swim, so they left the island. And they bred and grew. About 1,000 were removed from population by private trappers and sold to biomedical research facilities between 84 and 2012. That was very controversial and has since been halted. In the 70s, population living among the Silver River expanded areas along the Ocklawaha River. A study in 2018 found that there were at least 134, I'm going to call them macaws, because I don't know what the right word is, rhesus. Among 6 groups in that river, and so that's another population of rhesus monkeys introduced by Charles Rivers Laboratories, a lab animal breeding company. The company began stocking rhesus monkeys on 2 islands in the Florida Keys in the late 70s to be used in research. They had almost 1,400 of them between 17 and 18. They moved half of them to Raccoon Key. They gave them food, but they ate natural vegetation on the island. They caused significant destruction of the mangroves. They were a very destructive species, apparently. And the mangroves are, of course, good for preventing shoreline erosion and keeping, you know, the land intact. A judge in 1997 declared the company had to remove them from the islands, and they removed them from 99 to 2000. Where'd they go? Don't ask. An amusement park named Tropical Wonderland. Is this interesting? I'm just looking around there. Is this okay? An amusement park called Tropical Wonderland in Titusville, a 3rd population of rhesus monkeys in Florida. The park closed in 76. They either escaped or were intentionally released by the owner. In 1977, between 35 and 75 were roaming the area. Local residents got attacked by them. Rhesus monkeys are bad. Now squirrel monkeys. 5 different populations of squirrel monkeys that have been introduced into Florida. They're all basically dead. They don't live well here. So people have brought them in. They forage in trees. Apparently they don't like the temperature, maybe. But in all of these different stories, like one was released from a social club in Bartlett Estate in Fort Lauderdale and bred and then died. And, you know, animal rights activists. So the squirrel monkeys is all done poorly. The vervet monkeys, last category. Vervet monkeys introduced into Dania Beach. Dania Beach in Fort Lauderdale in the 40s, escaped from the Anthropoid Ape Research Foundation. Apparently this happens all the time. A facility that imported primates from Africa for the use in biomedical research. In 2020, there were about 40 of them split among 4 different groups. Some of them had split off. There was 2 monkeys that left the group and then I guess kind of passed away. The marriage didn't work out or whatever. So that's your like briefest quick update. And by the way, feeding wild monkeys in Florida is prohibited by state law.